I was thinking, talking to somebody the other day about when I was a kid, we had in the farm, we had these underground, or under earth anyway, storage things. And that if you picked apples or tomatoes or whatever you picked, and they were exactly, there were no spots on them, and they were just at the right time in terms of the sugar content, and they were ripe. And then you stored them in there, underground, and whatever the temperature was, you would have fresh fruit all winter. And without any, you know, phony stuff. But the problem is you had to carefully inspect every tomato and every apple to make sure there was no spot on it. It wasn't too ripe and it wasn't too green until, and it was wonderful because, you know, we had fresh fruit all winter, fresh tomatoes and vegetables.
Where did you store them?
Well, we had a food. It was.
We just wrapped ours in newspaper and put it in the basement.
This was because we fed a whole bunch of people. It was a big deal. I can't remember how it. You know, I'm just, but it was dug either dug into the side of a hill, or it was made up with earth and mound. But the point of it is that. If there was any place where it was picked when it was still green, or picked when it was starting, or had a mark on it, or had a mar on it, then the fruit, whatever it was stored in there would spoil, and it would cause the other things to spoil. And I was thinking about that with regard to. When we come to have an experience with God, the idea that there would be no place left in us that could be spotted by the flesh or spotted by, where that in the economy and wisdom of God, He's taken us at exactly the right time so that, you know, in our lives, and it may be some may be 90, some may be 6. I don't know how old the people are. That's the form of it is God's business. But it's critical, and that's why I've said for 30 some years now that you have got to go and push all of your images and things in your mind so that you know. That vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All is corruptible, save the seed. Now, because otherwise you're going to continue what we talked about yesterday, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And you pay absolutely no attention once the born-again process has happened. You learn to pay no attention to what the leaves are doing. You don't care whether the leaves are burned or the leaves are spotted or anything else. Because God is the husbandman that is taking you at the right time. And it's crucial let's take the kids. When we first started the school, and whenever it was, 89, I guess, you know, it was a big deal. Because we didn't know what we were doing. But the only thing that I knew from my standpoint is that we had to provide every opportunity for the children to push every dream, every idea, everything that they thought of to the very limits of time and space itself. And it appears that it seems to have done fairly well with regard to how the kids were raised and what has happened to them. Does anybody understand me, or am I just babbling? Am I just ranting here in my feverish state? Any response to anybody?
That's a good comparable, I don't think you've made the point that you're going for yet.
I didn't.
I didn't hear it.
You can't, no matter what your mind tells you, that if you haven't run all the rabbits,
oh, yeah,
then you're going to end up spotting the garment with the flesh. Okay?
I do have a response. You know, I've heard you say, you know, you've said this, you know, many times about pushing all the barriers or whatever. And I think my first time I heard that, it's like, yeah, you know. And then after a while, it got to a point where for me anyway, you know, it put a lot of fear in me.
Good.
Like, you know, if I were to let myself go to do all of this, I don't think it would turn out good for me.
Well, but then if that has created the fear, it's not fear of God, it's the fear. I mean, I don't know if it's fear of something else, but you still will live there in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is absolutely true. Is that when you become a believer, there's every pressure known to man to try and make you think you're supposed to conform to the words you're reading by your own efforts.
Yeah.
That's what churches are filled with, people who are trying to control themselves, you know, so there's no trust in God to be able to be God. It's, I've got to do it out of my own abilities and strength to make this gospel true.
Well, and it creates hypocrisy. Not because people are any more hypocritical than we are, but the hypocrisy of it is that they cannot say what is really going on. So they have to put on their Sunday best.
I don't know if it's so much they can't say it as they can't admit it. I was just thinking, as Gary was saying, that we want to be different.
What is the difference between can't say it and can't admit it? That's what I meant.
Okay. I didn't catch it that way.
But
no. You get the opportunity to wake up.
Yeah. I mean, here's the point. I don't care what it takes. I mean, that's why I keep telling you to say what's there. Say what's there. I don't care what it costs you. If you copy anything in me, I made a million mistakes, but I say what's there. If I see you doing something, I say it.
But if I say what's there, you might yell at me.
You're right.
That's right. Yeah.
And if I say what's there, you might yell at me. But the point of it is no matter what it is, if it's internalized, either some thoughts or judgments or whatever, or if you're circumcising yourself and not doing things that you think you want to do or think you should do, then you're going to be sitting there as a lone rotten grape.
What Ronnie said, I didn't completely understand, but I got the impression that what he was talking about really is fear of failure. Because I think I see some of that in me. And it's not just that we'll fail when we go out to pursue these rabbits, but that maybe God will fail too. You know, and so you don't go pursue things like that.
Well, here's what set this off. Something I've said the last, I don't know, week or so, has caused me to receive emails about, and people want to come down here for marriage counseling. And I say, why don't you have a church? Yeah, but I could never say that stuff there. And that just broke my heart. That you could be in a place where you couldn't say what's going on. And it struck me, if any of you are thinking that about this place, then my God in heaven, we got to change. Because you should be able to say anything that comes to your mind without fear of anything, because it's just part of the process of sanctification. And if you're running around thinking things and not saying it, or afraid to say it because Ole might make fun of me, well, that's kind of crazy. who do you fear? Do you fear me or do you fear God? If you fear God, then it, well, you should make it more comfortable and you should make it more easy to talk to you and blah, 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 blah. I am way too old to worry about changing who I am now. As I mentioned the other day, somebody, it's a small, what does Paul say? It's a small thing if I be judged of you or any other man. I judge not even mine own self. He had to get to a place where you stopped circumcising yourself so that you just speak.
And but, if that's all you got to say.
Well, yeah, you, whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
Somebody else will do the circumcision.
Or they better not.
Huh?
They better not do the circumcision.
God will.
All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
What hit me when Ryan was talking is that, like Tom said, the fear of failure or the fear of the outcome. I've always needed more fear of God, and I just realized that my fear should probably be that He's going to allow me to go do what these things. If that's what I think I want to do, He'll let me go do it.
Yeah, that's the whole point of what, that's what God is doing.
But it's different from thinking that he's going to make you do it, or he's going to make the results speed up, or whatever.
No, if you leave the mystery, he will let you go as far as you want. How does a sheep get lost? One blade of grass at a time. You know this. You've seen it over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like the fear of God is more that He won't crush you than He will. You know?
Of course, the fear of God is about me, Him having the stone, making me fall on that stone so that the stone doesn't fall on me. But remember, the peace place, the place of peace, is the certainty that He is the vine and we are the branches. We don't give a one rat's. We don't care about weather or anything else. We don't care about leaves or even there might be some termites on the, or whatever they are, some bugs on the. That's not our business because God Himself is the husbandman. And so we simply, and this is the perfect time. Oh, my God, this something's not going right. All these little leaves are falling off my tree. Well, every one of those little leaves, yeah. Every one of those leaves is some image that you have of the way things should be, the way you should be, the way things you want to do. And just watch them. And that's what we do when we're about to build the booth. Because when you live in the booth, you're supposed to live there 7 days. And when you build the booth for the Feast of Tabernacles, you lay there and you watch every day. One of the leaves or flowers falls off because you see that that's you and all of your ideas and all of your opinions and all of your value systems. Or each one of those leaves are falling off. Now,
one of the things that really stands out in my memory is you when you tie your lulav, tie your boat, when you see the parable of the booth, when you see the parable of the Ethrog, when you know your physical life is just
tie your
turning to smoke, when you know your brain is just smashed on the altar, stop moving, stop going away, stop taking trips, just tie your damn boat.
And that the vine and tree is such a great parable, because the branch doesn't think, well, hey, I'm getting my sustenance over here, not over there. It kind of comes from inside, from a totally different place than the wind and the rain and all that.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, excellency of the power, that sounds like some majestic thing that... No, it is the smallest details. And you have to come to the place where if you haven't given whatever is there, given, because you know that to retain is to corrupt. If you haven't given, then you're trying to make the treasure, you're trying to make the vessel something other than what it contains. We have this treasure in broken vessels. And that's why we give. Whatever is there, just like we used to do at the first fruits. No matter what the first fruit was, whether it was anger or fear, or whether it was concern, or whether it was the money, the tithe, whatever it was, you put it on the altar. Once it touched the altar in that parable, it is illegal for you to take it back. It's a death penalty to touch the altar to go after something that you put on the altar. Now, that's the purpose of that parable. And in the law is to shut up this mind. Now here's another one. We have the vine and the branches. Now here's another one. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power or the efficacy or the ability may be of God and not of us in any area. We are troubled on every side. Always, as long as we're in this body of sin and death, we will be troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There are occasions we will be perplexed. We have no idea what to do about something, but not in despair. We'll always be persecuted by the flesh, but not forsaken. We'll always be cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now the problem is most of you think that it's you that's dying. You never existed. You're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That's why you pick up your cross, to see that you were on that cross. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always. I'm going to be like T.D. Jakes. Everybody say always.
Always.
Carolyn hadn't gone for it.
I've met T.D.
Jakes. I'm not, and I'm no T.D. Jakes. I mean, he's an incredible preacher.
He's got a movie out too.
Yeah, he
had
a movie.
1, 2. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's what it means to be a witness. How can you be delivered unto death when you're still chasing around in the cemetery? Building, you know, trying to put makeup on the dead body, trying to, well, this is what this dead body wants to do.
I think it's really critical that, you know, and being in your Bible study earlier, I heard that a lot, is that you don't exist and that warfare is already over and all that. Because a lot of times we talk about, well, when this comes, then repent and die. You know, and that's totally different. From doing something in the future as opposed to seeing it's already been done.
If you'd have kept your mouth shut, you'd have still been in the Bible study.
I'd be so much more fortunate.
And one of us would have been dead.
Wouldn't have been you.
For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Death always worketh in the speaker, life in the hearer. It's a mystery that's beyond mysteries.
That's the same thing as Tim was talking about in a different way. Kind of. Death works in Christ after the flesh, which is what he endured. And the fruit of that was the resurrection and life in you.
Amen. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You don't have to try to encourage anybody. You tell them how to speak it. If you believe, you will speak. If you don't believe, you will come up with some liturgies. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. I mean, that means everything in all of history and all of time. It's happened so that you can see the mystery. So that you can stop chasing vain shadows. So that you can awake out of that deep sleep that your walking sleep that you've been in. So that you can take the veil off your eyes and see the New Jerusalem around you. See that you're at the top of the heap. You can't get any higher, no matter what it looks like. See that you already own all things instead of hoarding your own little private possessions, whether it's your thoughts or your, oh, this is what I think about that. I've been thinking about that for the blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. But you must say it nonetheless. If it's there, say it. Otherwise, you will walk in deception because you will automatically convince yourself that it's the right thing to do to be quiet. And you will use any excuse possible.
I'll blame it on you.
No, nobody would do that. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction was but for a moment, which for us worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. Again, here we have the parable of the vessel and what it contains. But remember, it's the broken vessel. And as long as you try to fix the outside of the vessel, then you keep what you're doing is the same thing as the vine would be doing, I mean the branch would be doing, trying to make the leaves grow. That's why the essence of discipleship is the abandonment of yourself, giving no credence to you don't owe your thoughts or your emotions anything. Your old nature is dead. Don't struggle about it. This mystery, it's the simplest thing in the universe. You just live. But you have to go to war with this instead of Christ, your mind. His number is 666. And as long as you keep paying attention, as long as you think that there is something there, something out there, something that some inner solution by... I mean, you're just a fool. This friend of mine that is dying is a big bookie. I mean, he's one of, you know, layoff centers. And he just loves these guys. I mean, they've made him a wealthy man his whole life. The people that think the next roll of the dice, or the next lottery ticket, or the next football game, or the next. I mean, are you that stupid? The next thing I do, it's the same thing as betting on the lottery. In the lottery, the odds are 15 million, 75 million, or whatever it is, to one against you. Oh, but I'm going to go buy another ticket. You've seen over and over and over that the fruit of your thought brought you nothing but misery and aloneness.
Oh, but this time it's going to work.
Yeah, just like with the lottery, you win $5 and it appears that it worked. But think about all that you spent. It's still not working even though you won some money.
Remember, take away. I am, Jesus is saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the treasure, you are the vessel. You were created in the image, Selem, the image of God, but not like you, don't look like Him. And the likeness. Image is the vessel, likeness is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the only thing that's going on. Everything else is corruption upon corruption. And if you don't know that by now, I don't know what it's going to take.
I think in this parable of the vine and the branches, it's like those vine has these open supply tubes carrying nutrients to all parts. But if the tree took it upon itself to do the work of bringing in, it would have to flex its muscle, which would close the capillary and stop the light from flowing. That's kind of the same place.
Do you remember about maybe 10 years ago when I accused you of having spiritual cholesterol?
Not really, but I know that.
Because the channel is being clogged by your thoughts and ideas. So that's not an open channel to the mystery of godliness. It's clogged with all these little things. And that's what we do. It's all, hear me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not need. It's impossible for you to be in need. Then hear the ancient prayer that we found the other. John found it, and it turns out I found in my notes that I'd found it about 1976, but that's another story. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee, and I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Everything else is just crap. You know, I always say if it's not 2,000 years old, it's crap. Well, that's especially true this morning.
I really like that on spiritual cholesterol.
Should we talk about spiritual diabetes?
We can if we want to.
Anybody have any reaction? Am I being too mean again for somebody?
No. No, you're pretty mellow this morning.
Until you start talking about it.
Do what you got to do. Take it, big guy. Before we go, though, do you know that did you see what?
Electrical line.
Yeah, but I mean, he did an incredible job. What we needed with the guy here. I mean, he saved us. We probably could never have. But there was nothing. There was no notification that there was any. Nobody knew that there was an electrical wire under there. Okay, listen. Okay.
You knew? Yeah.
Listen.
We put it in
15
years.
Okay. Okay. If anybody knew, we forgot. Whatever. Either way. But we have to get that taken care of immediately. The wires are pulled out of this box. And let nobody get even near that box until an electrician gets here. All it takes is a short, and we'll have this house go up in fire. It's probably because you were a good guardian angel. Take it, big guy.